It was in Joshua chapter 4 when Joshua came to the Jordan River and God stopped, just folded back the River Jordan. And before he folded the river back, he said to Joshua, hold on, you make a memory here. Well, what do you mean? I want you to take 12 stones out of the Jordan River and you build an altar, a memorial, so that in times to come, when your sons come and ask, what is this memorial? You'll tell them, the God who did a miracle then is the same God that'll do a miracle in your life today.
When the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River to enter the Promised Land, God told Joshua to gather 12 stones from the Jordan and build a memorial. Then, in years to come, if their children should ever ask what that pile of stones was all about, they could tell their children of the great miracles God had performed. Well, today, Pastor Wayne will show us that it is still important for us to be reminded of the things God has done in our lives. Here he is with a message entitled, Building Memories.
We're going to talk about a very practical subject, a subject called building memories, and how important it is for us to have memories in our lives that we use as signposts along the way, and not only that for our own selves, but for those who come after us. If you're a parent, those signposts are absolutely critical for our children so that we set these memories. In fact, memories are something that lives are made of. It's just the basic of life, those experiences that happen only layer after layer of common, familiar experiences that bring, again, something of warmth when we stray or go through times or seasons that are dry. Memories. I remember my mom. She's a 4'10" Japanese lady, about like this. And she would have to sit on a pillow as she drove her 51 Chevy, even so she could look through the steering wheel. My favorite place was standing on the seat, because I couldn't sit on it, because then I'd see just the dashboard. And wanting to see through the windshield, I'd stand and hold on to the bench seat, making believe like I'm surfing going down through Palolo Valley. And because in those days, there were no seat belts in the cars. And in fact, my mother's arm was the seat belt. When she'd come to a stop sign, just automatically, she'd just hold me out like that. And just, thanks, Mom. And then, but there would be times that it would be like unsuspecting when someone would pull out in front of her and she'd have to jam on the brakes. Then this seatbelt would come flying through space, man, with a velocity faster than a right arm pitcher in the big leagues. Whack, she'd come around and just about nose high would hear her elbow be. Boom, I'm gonna hit my nose. Ow, Mom, you broke my nose. She'd look at me and say, you better tank me, boy, you better tank me. I said, for what, Mom? She said, you could have flown right through that windshield if I never put my hand in front of you like this. I said, Mom, next time, let me fly through the windshield. That's why I used to love riding with my grandmother on the Portuguese side. She was a little overweight and she had a beautiful beginnings of a mustache. And and I would stand next to her like this, and she, like many loving grandmothers have, they have kind of an extra thing on their arm, you know, that just hangs there. And for a little kid, that's real comforting, because when she stops, you know, and she has to hold me back, when she pulls her arm around, it's like everything goes into slow motion. Now, you gotta hold your breath when that stuff comes, otherwise, I tell you, it'd suffocate you to death, you know, because it kind of hangs on. It's sort of like the forerunner to the airbag, you know, just. So, and in split second, you know, and this gel that just comes and wafts over you and starts caressing my head, you know. But just those memories, every time I think of my grandmother and the 51 Chevy, you know, just good memories that always come back that reminds us that you're loved. And I remember my wife, however, every one of her memories is every summer her parents would take her to the coast in Oregon, Depot Bay, for maybe 12, 15 years. Every year, like clockwork, they'd pack up their kids and they drove this Rambler. They don't even make them now. And would drive to the coast. And they would rent this old, dilapidated cabin, you know? It's bad, musty, stink. And they call it ocean view cabins because there's spaces between the boards through which you could view the ocean. I mean, it was that bad. And they would go there, and her mother would buy the same thing, red snapper, and she would pan fry it, and the smell of fish would waft through this two-room cabin. And they have a wood stove, and so the stove would be going in the wintertime or whenever they would go. I think it was during the winter they would go. And then over on the living room, they would like spend 2 days just playing games, card games, Scrabble, things like that. Well, when Anna and I got married, this is about the 14th year they've done this, they invited me to go along, their new son-in-law. So I remember them going, getting the key from the manager, opening up this door, and they opened it, and just the musty smell. Oh, wow, I thought, we're going to stay here? So I thought, this is so bad. The linoleum is, you know, coming off, and go into the living room, and it's just old, musty furniture and nice view of the ocean. And then we go into the kitchen, and sure enough, she buys red snapper and cooks it, and fish smell throughout the house. 3 days they're playing games. I thought, this thing is bad. I mean, this is bad. So the next year, I saved money, and I said, this time we're going to go up the coast, and I'm going to put you guys at the Hilton Hotel. And I knew it was going to cost like 6 times the amount. And I treated them to a lobster dinner. It was really nice, and went to a movie, real nice. But on the way home, I remember sitting with my wife, and I had to agree when she said, you know, honey, that was really nice, but it's just not the same. So what do you mean, not the same? I said, you know, not the same. I said, so you like the stink smells and stuff. But you see, what I had forgotten is that it was the memories, not the boards, but the memories in those boards from years and years of the kids growing up. It was the familiar smells of mom's cooking, the collection of those experiences, and the sounds of laughter that was recorded into the walls, and now like a stereo hi-fi would play it back in form of memories and imagination of years past. Hey, do you remember when, what we did last year? They would talk about all of those things, and they would rehearse it. You know, modernism has all but eradicated the times that build memories that only come by layer upon layer of common and familiar experiences. We get so busy in this time where we're on fast forward. Isn't that true? And we're like ships passing in the night. It was a time of years past when at dinner time the whole family would be together. I mean, bar none, just nothing. You were there for dinner. I mean, it doesn't matter where you're in the world. You catch a plane, you're back here for dinner. And the kids would always meet with the parents for dinner. And it was bedtime prayers. Thanksgiving, all the family and relatives would get together. Christmas, the family would be together. Vacations, without fail. But modern times have come where our schedules go every which way and our families get split apart, and now no longer do we have dinner together. Hardly. Or bedtime prayers. Maybe at Thanksgiving. Hopefully someone will come at Christmas. Vacations, well, once in a while. And modernism has almost erased all these memories that would just bring memories and flood us back with laughter from the past. These memories that are so important that sort of give us a bearing. The Bible teaches us that these memories are not to be left to chance, but we need to build them as signposts along the way that would be otherwise an unfamiliar road. What will happen is we get so caught up in this modernism that we're pulled this way and pulled that way. And we start looking for the wrong things. I mean, the things that we exchange for memories, maybe more prestigious jobs or positions or more complicated lives. And what happens, the most obvious things in life we miss. Things that really make up life we miss. The things that we stop and say, you know what I really liked about those things are gone. And it's a void. And we miss the most obvious things. It sounded like the guy came out of Mexico and he rode his bike to the border and he had 2 sacks on his shoulder. He wandered through and the border guard said, hey, what do you got in those sacks? He said, just sand, senor, just sand. He said, yeah, right. He said, give me that. He looked at it, looked inside the sand, searched it all through. He said, what's in here? Just sand, senor. He says, yeah, right. So he actually had the sand analyzed to see if it was laced with heroin or something. And nothing. It was just sand. Detained him for 4 hours. He said, all right, you can go, but I know this. I'm going to watch you. Si, senor, please watch me. It's all right. And so he goes into the United States. Now, the next day, he comes up again into the United States border and stops the bicycle and says, hey, what do you got in those sacks? It's sand, senor, sand. He said, yeah, right. So he checks the sand. Sure enough, it's just sand. He's smuggling something. Well, this went on twice a week. 5 years goes by. Finally, this guy retires. And he goes into Mexico, and he sees this Mexican guy that he confronted twice a week. His name is Paco, and he's in his bar smoking this big cigar dressed in this really nice clothes. Now, this border guard that retired comes in and says, Paco, I have not been able to sleep for 5 years. I know you've been smuggling something, but I can't find out what it is. I'm retired now. I can't prosecute you. But just for my sanity's sake, tell me, what have you been smuggling? And he looked up at him and said, bicycles, senor, bicycles. You see, sometimes we lose we miss the obvious, don't we? We're so involved in other things that we miss the obvious. And the most obvious things that life is made up of are memories and experiences that endear us one to another. And you know, in the Bible, God tells the people of Israel to build memories as a command. He says this is a part of God's working in your life. And you must build memories, not just for yourself, but for those who will come after you. It was in Joshua chapter 4 when Joshua came to the Jordan River and God stopped, just folded back the River Jordan, let the people cross over on dry land, just like the Red Sea. And before he folded the river back, he said to Joshua, hold on, you make a memory here. Well, what do you mean? I want you to take 12 stones out of the Jordan River and you build an altar, a memorial, so that in times to come, when your sons come and ask, what is this memorial about? You'll tell them, the God who did a miracle then is the same God that'll do a miracle in your life today. You build that memory. And so he did. And let's read about it at the top of our notes. Did you pull that out? And let's start right at the beginning. Ready? Go. Let this be a sign among you that when your children ask later, what do these stones mean? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when we cross the Jordan. So these stones shall become a memorial or a memory to the sons of Israel forever. God is saying, build expressions of when God has done a miracle. Commemorate it in some way. The Israelites would do that with things called altars. Dad, what's this altar? Ah, this is where Gideon defeated the Midianites. Oh, what's that one over there? Ah, that's where Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Dad, what's this one by the river? This is when God did a miracle and held back the River Jordan for the children of Israel to cross. And the same God that did a miracle then is here to do a miracle in your life. Is that right, Dad? Absolutely. You see, God told him to build these memories. Why? Why should we build memories? Would you write in your notes, number one, because it's commanded by God. It's commanded by God. It's so easy for us to get caught up in this fast-moving world that we lose the memories of life. And God commands us to build memories. Let's read about it out of Deuteronomy 6. Ready? Go. You must teach these things to your children and talk about them when you are out on a walk, at bedtime, and at the first thing in the morning. Would you underline the words, you must teach them to your children? You must teach them. You see, God commands us to pass the baton or the legacy of faith to our children. And one of the ways is through these remembrances or these traditions that we establish in our lives that honor God, that we never forget the things God does. Let's read the next one. Ready? Go. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Underline those two words, forget none. Forget none. You see, God wants us to remember. And most memories happen by default. But the Bible says that if we're going to be a people of God, then we must chart our course in such a way that others who come behind us can navigate their way by what we have set in place. What should be valued? What God has done. What should we value? The times together as a family or with friends. Priorities. He says, display these things in such a way that others who come after us can say, ah, those things are valuable, aren't they? One of the best traditions that we're building is what you're doing right now. Right now, by coming to church on Sundays, you build a tradition. And you say, nope, there's other things that we could do. We could go do this and go do that. But Sunday, we've carved it out. We've scheduled it in. And we're going to build a tradition that every Sunday we go as a single, as a couple, as a family. And that's where we're going to be, in church. And as you do that, there's going to be times when our children may stray. But they'll remember a signpost along the way. And they'll say, you know, I remember when Dad and Mom would fight and they'd have struggles. But every Sunday they'd still go to church and never leave that. They'd still end up in church together and God would speak to them because I'd hear Dad and Mom talking about the message and how it applied to them. And God would bring them back together and solve some pretty difficult problems. And I'm a grown man now, that son may say. And I'm having struggles with my wife. Honey, we need to go to church. Come. That's what Dad and Mom used to do. See, God commands us to build these traditions and memories, not only for us, but it's good for those who come after us. The second, not only is it to be a personal thing, but more so, it's to be a family matter. Would you write that in there? It's to be a family matter. Because sometimes we have little things that somehow remind us, and those are good, but it needs to be a family matter to also remind our children. Let's read the scripture together underneath number two. Ready? Go. Describe these glorious deeds of God or Jehovah to your children so that they in turn could teach their children too. In this way, each generation has been able to obey his laws and to set its hope anew on God and not forget his glorious miracles. You see, listen very carefully. God holds one generation responsible for establishing these unto the next. He holds one generation responsible for establishing these memories and these signposts and these mile markers unto the next. And that's why he says, remind them now. Listen, this day shall be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. And you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. What is he saying? Would you write in number three? And these things are to be done consistently. It is to be done consistently. And that's why over those 13 or 14 years of that family vacation, it built such deep memories that reminds Anna that families matter. And it helped her as she grew up. So now we establish certain family traditions in our family because of the signposts along the way. It's to be done consistently as a habit, as a tradition, as something consistent. You've got to schedule it in. Because listen carefully, if you don't, you leave your life to default, you're going to get pulled this way and that way, and you want to keep up with the Joneses, and I don't have enough money, so I'm going to do this, get more jobs and this and that. And we miss the most important and most obvious things in life, which is life itself. And the simplicity of building certain memories, just building that memory. And it's got to be done consistently because you are going to get distracted and you are going to try to keep up with the Joneses because we think that's what our family wants. More position, more finances, more this. And we miss what life is all about. And as we conclude this family series, I want to say and remind us again, don't miss that. Because that's one of the most important mileposts in life, especially for the next generation. Otherwise, we become someone we're not. We're trying to become like the Joneses, and we miss it. Reminds me of these two guys that went camping. It was a real smart Japanese guy and then a Portuguese guy. And they went camping, and there were camps set up all over the place. And the Japanese guy is just a real brainy guy. His name is Shiro, and then Mano. And so they that night after campfire, they put their sleeping bags out, and they got in their sleeping bags. And Shiro said, as they were looking up into the sky, laid down at night, Shiro said, Mano, what do you see? Mano looked up and said, millions, millions of stars, Shiro. Shiro said, good. What does that tell you? I thought, oh, here's my chance for act smart, no? He said, well, astronomically, it says that there are millions of stars in these galaxies, potentially billions of planets. And not only that, theologically it says that we have a great God and man is a very insignificant creature. And meteorologically, it says, since there's wonderful stars and the absence of clouds, says that the barometric pressure is high, so tomorrow we will have a nice day. And he turned to Shiro and said, Shiro, what does that tell you? Shiro said, Mano, somebody stole our tent. You see, we try to be some other person that we're really not, and we miss the real things about life. And God says, schedule it in, because you're going to get pulled. And you're going to get pulled, and you'll lose your identity. In fact, would you turn your notes over, and here's three stones, as it were, as God told the children of Israel to build these memorials. What are some of the stones that build strong memories? Number one, would you write in there, it's the stone of identity. Because it's so easy to forget who we are and we try to be someone else. The stone of identity. You see, one of the reasons God says to build remembrances is because it reminds you of who you are. If you go through our house, you'll see in our home all kinds of different things. But on the wall, you'll see scriptures that are my life scriptures and Anna's life scripture. We had them calligraphied. And we put them on the wall. Why? Because when I come in, I want to be reminded of who I am. You go into our family room, you'll see pictures of things we value, our children, some people that we know, and people here in the church, and also a quilt, a large quilt, not unlike you saw in the video. And there's just little patches all made by individuals in a care group that Anna and I and our family were a part of for about 7 years before moving to Honolulu. In Hilo, and each person would write a little thing on that quilt patch, and so we have this big quilt that just reminds us of the family that we belong to.
Just heard part one of a message entitled Building Memories by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast.
Lord.
Pastor Wayne Cordero. This is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.